This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
All right, thumbs up, let's do this.
As Run DMC once said, sucker MCs that do not learn. If you don't this time, we shall return.
Woo! Where's my bell?
Yeah.
We're back. The Nerdy Legion Podcast. Woo!
Ooh, was that a Ric Flair woo?
Hell yeah, he's the best.
He is the best.
He is the best. You know who else is the best? You're the best.
No, hardly. Hardly.
Hardly?
Hardly.
You mean Hardy, like the boys.
I like it. I've been listening to your new podcast, and let me tell you, I feel like I'm getting a good dose of Nerdy Legion right there.
Oh, yeah? You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's full of fun.
I don't know about good fun. One. I don't know about fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you and Aaron's episode was fantastic.
Oh, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
My new regular co-host.
Yeah, you guys are good.
He's the best.
For sure.
Well, second best. I mean, you're the best.
No, hardly.
No, that's not what I hear. You're number one in a lot of people's books.
Geez, I doubt that. What books are they reading?
Probably Black Mask.
Ooh. All right, I'll take that. Mm-hmm.
I read a Black Mask book today.
Oh, wow. One came out, huh?
Yeah, one came out. Breathless.
Breathless?
Breathless.
Is it based on the Truffaut film?
It's based on nothing.
Oh, okay.
It's based on an original concept by whoever wrote this book.
I was going to say, you're not going to give me the credits? You know that's what I want in all podcasts is credits.
Everyone loves credits. Written by Pat Shand. Art by Renzo Rodriguez. Colors by Mara Jane Carpenter. Letters by Jim Campbell.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It's nice. Good. Breathless number one. It's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer meets Big Pharma.
Wow. Those are two topics that I didn't think were ever going to blend together a little bit.
That's what I thought.
That sounds awesome.
I made it part of my comic predictor. Trademark 2018, Nick Wetmore.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. It was good. I read it. Because Aaron was talking about it on our Discord chat. I was like, you know what? Cool. I'll just go ahead and read it. Because I was going to read it anyway. And it was good. It was good. I'm not going to spoil anything. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's in the synopsis of the book. This girl's got asthma. And she's got shitty health insurance. So she goes and she gets her inhaler. And apparently she gets an asthma attack. And the inhaler has a little hole in it. So she can't take her medicine. And there's monsters in this world. And she works for this company, like, doing autopsies on monsters that they catch. And she goes to cut through one of the organs, and this cloud pops up, and it cures her asthma. And so now the company's researching, like, this monster on how to find a cure for asthma.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was good. I enjoyed it.
I was expecting that the way you were describing it, I was expecting it to go about three different ways.
Go on.
I just thought when you were talking about she couldn't afford the inhaler or whatever, I thought she was going to go to a bootleg, you know, one of those offshoot or up to Canada to get him cheaper.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here comes the Buffy hijinks.
No. This is like straight out.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that concept.
Her best friend is a monster too, apparently.
Ooh, that's neat.
She's homeless and she feeds her leftover monster parts.
Why is it that I can wrap my head around, and I know you won't, well, if you have an answer, that'd be fantastic. But just throwing it out, why is it that I can wrap my head around witches, talking zombies, talking monsters, but then when you give me a book that is a talking animal, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, nope, I'm out. Even though I love, like, old traditional, like, Disney and Looney Tunes cartoons.
That's pretty racist.
Well, specious, maybe, but that's I wouldn't say racist. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's weird.
That
like
is
you,
weird.
As soon as you go into, like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm like, nope, I'm out.
All right, what about, like, books that aren't, like, anthropomorphic animals, but are just animals that talk?
Yeah. Like Animosity?
Like Animosity.
Nope. I'm out.
What?
Granted, I've only read one issue of Animosity. Maybe it does get better.
Listen, if Paul Tesner likes Animosity, that must mean it's good.
I would concur with that synopsis, but, and I won't say that it's a diehard rule, because there's plenty of exceptions to the statement that I just made, but for whatever reason, it's just like, As soon as somebody starts going down that road, I would much rather like to read a post-apocalyptic or zombie story over talking animals for whatever reason. And I don't know why that is.
I'm with you. I would rather read that too. I love that stuff.
It's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
I know.
I think the problem is a lot of times with the animal talking thing, well, you know what? That's not true because I'm trying to think of a bad example and I can't find one.
Believe me, I wish it wasn't that way, but for whatever reason.
That is very odd. I don't like it.
No, I don't like it either.
I don't like being confused.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's me, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
24/7.
Not good. So what have you been up to?
Oh,
we haven't talked in like 3 years.
I know. Well, you have a lot of stuff going on. You're closing down podcasts. You're firing up new podcasts.
I'm killing all the podcasts.
Which, hey, I'm loving it. And for you to start a brand new Batman podcast and for you to bring the comfy couch over to that podcast, respect. I like that.
Props to that goes to Chris, not me. It was his idea.
When I heard Chris say that, I was like, oh, like, I'll take that.
Yep. He's our new number one fan. I don't know what happened to Mike.
I know.
Chris Campbell's Mike's our new number quiet. One fan.
It's very, and it scares me that he's listening. And I'm guessing, cause you said he's going back and listening to the older episodes, but it seems like he listens to the brand new episode and then he'll start heading back in the back catalog because he definitely listened to the last one that we did.
He sure did.
But Chris Turner, after this one, you can listen to it. This one will be A-okay. But when Martin releases the poop filled one, please turn that one off. Nelson.
Don't listen.
don't listen, Nelson.
Don't listen to that.
Lucas,
don't listen.
Don't listen to that one.
No, definitely don't listen to that.
No. We might talk about the Superman pose, but it's not the Superman pose that we all grew up with.
Yep. Doing the Superman pose on the squatty potty.
Oh, God.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, I got to give a shout out to Ryan Wynn, too.
Oh, the Ryan Wynn.
The Ryan Wynn, inker extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Death Betty's own Ryan Wynn.
I enjoyed Death Betty.
It was great, wasn't it?
It sure was.
I dug it. I can't wait for him to put another issue.
It's hard to show kinetic, frenetic action. And
that's
for
a,
some
that's a
reason,
lot of big words. Backtrack here for a little
some,
bit.
But for some reason, they pulled it off. Death Betty pulled it off. And I hate to say it, there's parts to, like, even when I'm reading The Flash, when Francis Manapul first started The Flash and had The Flash run on top of the blades of a helicopter from one building to the other, I was like, that's pretty cool. Granted, I'm not the biggest Flash fan, but I never ever imagined that as a scene showing speed. Mm. And I'm like, good on him.
It was awesome.
And Death Betty does that. They show the most frenetic, crazy stuff, and yet I never feel lost. Yeah. Kudos to that. And good call. Thanks for recommending it.
No problem. Plus, it's 99 cents in Comixology. You know what I mean? Like, you can't go wrong with a dollar book.
Well, you could always buy a coffee for... Oh, wait. You can't buy coffee for 99 cents.
You could probably buy, like, Death Betty 1 through 10 for the price of a coffee.
Yes. And you will spend a hell of a lot more time, especially with the extras in the back. You will spend a hell of a lot more time reading those two issues of Death Betty for $2 than any coffee pleasure you'll get. Sorry.
Yeah. Let me talk to you about this, because this came up this past weekend. We went to SC Comic-Con.
Oh, I got to hear about SC Comic-Con.
Oh, well, don't listen to today's comic talk today, because yikes.
Really?
There was some anger in there.
I'm behind.
There was some anger. But, no, yeah, so we went, and I'm not going to talk about the bad experience, but I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Because, so I took the kids. I took Reagan and Zoe.
Did they dress up?
They did.
Oh.
Reagan.
Is this on Comic Talk today?
No.
Okay, good. I don't want to rehash anything. So
the topic of Comic Talk today was your booth is empty because you don't give a shit. Yeah.
Very true.
So I talked about vendors that have empty booths because they don't engage with people.
Remember we talked about that last year at C2E2?
We sure did.
Because a very big vendor was not engaging one person in their very large space. Pretty crazy.
Yep.
Or I won't even say vendor. Publisher.
Publisher,
even
yeah.
Even worse, a publisher.
By the front door.
Yeah, that was shocking. It was so shocking that I think we stood there and talked about it for about 3 minutes.
Yep. At their booth.
Yeah. while no one even approached us. So nuts.
It was nuts. But so we were hanging out, and I was looking for a couple things. I don't want to recap like the stuff that I was looking for, but basically I was looking for the FF19, which I got.
Nice.
The first Ramatut, and I got a killer deal on it.
Ooh, okay.
I got a killer deal on it. Go ahead.
Sorry if you're going to rehash, but you know I have to ask. Was it slabbed?
No.
Was it hard to go around with the girls, or did they sort of know Dad wants two items, let's let him get two items?
No, they were pretty awesome. Reagan's always really good. Zoe's got a little bit more trouble because we walk a lot, and she gets tired.
Sure.
And she's getting big enough where it's hard to carry her around. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say, you can't be like, get on my back, baby.
Yeah.
Nope.
She's 7 and she's like up to my shoulders. So it's tough. But overall they were good. Zoe was slightly in a bad mood because she found this stuffed narwhal at a booth that she really wanted. But it was $35 and I was like, dude, I can get it on Amazon for like 10. How about I'll just order it and you'll just get it in a couple days. But I couldn't find the exact one.
Damn it.
And she wanted that exact one.
Darn it.
It was like baby blue and pink and purple.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a sort of realistic narwhal?
No. It was like a cartoony narwhal.
Cool.
But, it was big. And,
you know who draws sweet narwhals?
Who?
Jeremy Bashton.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did prints of narwhals that'll just blow your socks off.
Really?
Yeah. He's a great illustrator anyway, but. As long as you like that he has this Edward Gorey style to his art.
Yeah.
So if you like that really like thin line, paper and pen look, oh my lord. He is amazing.
All right, I'm gonna find these. I'll show them to Zoe. So
yeah, he does a book called The Cursed Pirate Girl and there's narwhals in that.
Wait, do I have that? Was he a C2E2?
He was.
Oh, I did pick that up. I don't think I even read it.
You should show that to your daughter.
What is wrong with me?
Nothing. You have like 3 million comic books. I still haven't even heard the price that you paid for that Fantastic Four.
Well, we talk about a lot of stuff on this podcast and it never makes sense. So, it's expected that I wouldn't even get to the price of this book because we're not there yet. I'm still talking about this narwhal. You know what I mean?
All right. Go on.
Anyway, so she wanted the narwhal and it was $35 and I was like, look, I don't want to pay $35 for a stuffed animal. I was like, let's look around. If there's anything else that you want, we'll pick that up. If we get to the end of the convention and you still really want the narwhal, then we'll get the narwhal.
Mm-hmm.
So she was okay with that. A little disappointed, but I try to make her understand the way of the world. The world is a dark place, Nick. You know what I mean? You don't always get what you want.
Santa can't come every day
exactly,
of the year.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we walked around. And this will be the tale of how sharp Zoe is.
Ooh,
we walk around.
Wait,
and,
is this a wait? Hold on, ring the bell. Is this an episode of Kids Corner?
It's an episode of whatever we want it to be.
Well, that's our new segment, Kids Corner. All so right. this sounds like a parental story here. I like it already.
So we're walking around the con. Reagan dressed up as Chara. Which is like an evil alternate universe version of the character she normally cosplays as.
Charo. From Love Boat.
From Undertale.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. I was going to say, how would a child of 7 know?
No, not Charo, Chara.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, good.
Apparently there's like fanfic and stuff of this video game. People really get into it. And there's like this alternate universe with the characters, playing like slightly different versions of themselves.
Cool.
So she was Chara, and Zoe had a great time cosplaying last time. I'm trying to think what she was. She was Harley Quinn the last convention we went to, and then Catwoman the one before that. So she wanted to dress up, and she was gonna do Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Nice.
That's her favorite because her middle name is Isabella. So, you know, Belle is short for Isabella.
And makes sense.
She Belle kind of looks like Zoe, so she likes Belle. Yeah. Anyways, she has grown quite a bit over the last year, Nick. Her Belle princess dress did not fit. It was a little small on her.
Oh.
So she went out and got a costume. Now, she is slick. This is Zoe is slick story number one. Because she and I talked on the phone Thursday, because she was at her mom's, and you know she told me what she wanted to do and whatever, and we had all the stuff figured out. And Sunday morning, her mom calls me, and she's like, listen, I'm at work, I'm not going to be able to drop her off, but Jeremy's going to drop her off, her husband. Okay. I said, that's fine. She's like, if you could bring $20 for her outfit, I'd appreciate it.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, we tried on her princess dress, but it didn't fit. And so Jeremy went to Target with her and got her a costume. And I was like, well, you could have just told me because she's got like three or four different costumes at the house. Because like the kids cosplay in the house all the damn time. You know what I'm saying? Like they'll just wear their costumes around.
Yeah.
And
why
like
wouldn't
full
they?
Makeup and everything.
Of course.
I was like, well, I wish you would have just told me. But I mean,
they're not half stepping this. Come on.
Yeah, no,
Martina.
They go all out. They go all out.
Yeah.
So,
kids, for God's sakes.
So, anyways, Zoe always gets what she wants at her mom's house.
So, another, hey, Martin, I know you're my ex and all, but since you are bringing them to your little boy comic convention, yeah, this $20, that's on you, Pally.
Sure. Whatever.
Yeah. As you're like, what?
Yeah.
I didn't authorize this. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter because whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it was cute. She got the superhero, DC superhero girls, Supergirl costume.
Nice.
Which is slightly different than the comics costume. It's like a baby blue instead of the navy. It's not navy blue. It's lighter than that. But anyways, it's a different shade. It's got this like little skirt with gold stars and stuff on it. It's cute. And she told
and
me like.
She's sticking within the DC family.
Of course.
So that's appreciated.
She told me she wanted to get the Wonder Woman one. But the Wonder Woman one had a cape that she didn't like. She really liked the Supergirl cape, and so that's the one she got. So Zoe was Supergirl for the convention. And it was pretty funny, because like, anytime there'd be steps or something, she'd be like, Supergirl, and like fly off the steps with like her fist up in the air, you know?
Of course.
And so I was very proud, very proud. Mm-hmm. And so walking around the con, and Reagan found like a necklace or something that she wanted, so we got that. And Zoe didn't say anything.
Okay.
We keep walking. And I talked to a couple different vendors. I found one that had the FF19. We talked for a little while. And he gave me a great deal. I paid like about half of what he asked for.
Ooh.
But it was more than the $35 that Zoe's narwhal cost.
Oh, boy.
So after I get the book from this guy, Zoe's like, hey, Daddy. And I was like, yeah, what's up? She's like, so can I get the narwhal now? And I was like, well, I told you we're going to go through all the booths and see if there's anything else that we can get you. And she's like, well, you just spent this much money on a comic.
Geez.
She's like, my narwhal's only $35.
Oh, golly. The girl has sound logic.
She is extremely bright.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing she got the Ferretti gene.
Damn it.
Yes. So I was like, that's a very good point. I said, let's just keep walking around. We'll see if we find something else. So we're looking. Went through a couple of other vendors. We're looking through boxes. Like the girls were looking through long boxes.
Nice.
And they didn't want to get anything. They were just looking.
Yeah, but still.
And of course we got up to friend of the show, Luke Foster's booth.
Nice.
And we talked to Luke for a little bit. I got a couple books from him.
Love it.
And I posted it on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that. Because, you know, those guys over at the Geek Brunch podcast.
Yeah.
They have hatred in them.
Really? Venom.
They have venom in them.
Oh, that's so bad.
Yeah.
He's such a good guy.
Venom. So
I mean, he's a sponsor of the show.
Of course.
He's got to be good people.
This episode brought to you by Dr. Bananas.
Oh, God. He's Matt. Back? He's a returning sponsor, the first returning sponsor of 20 Great Team.
Exactly.
Luke Foster.
Exactly.
Oh, so good. I can't believe he actually got it. I know he's cagey. It's hard to wrangle him in for a sponsorship.
He is.
Oh, that's great.
But so he signed my book to a real fan, Luke Foster.
Mm-hmm. That checks out. That's fact.
It is fact. Mm-hmm. It is fact. Mm-hmm. So when I see him at Heroes, I'm going to pick up his Kickstarter that he just finished. Because I am terrible with keeping up with Kickstarters.
Ditto.
And I totally forgot about his. In fact, I forget about all of them. So when I was stopped by the Ominous Press booth, I had to get their Kickstarter book. What's it called? Curse of the Black Hand, I want to say. Something like that. It's an oversized hardcover.
Nice.
I picked it up, and I talked to Bart for like 10 or 15 minutes. He was awesome. He's always great.
Of course.
Yeah. So I picked that up, and we're walking. Reagan found another thing that she liked, and Zoe's keeping track in her head, I guess.
Oh, God, yeah. That calculator's going off in that head.
She's like, well, can I get the narwhal now? Because Reagan spent like $20.
And I haven't bought anything.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? We got like two more aisles. Let's go through those two more aisles. And then if we don't find anything, we'll go get the narwhal.
That damn narwhal.
So we go. And in these last few aisles, I found three copies of Batman 181.
Uh-oh.
So in between talking to these vendors, it took a little while, and but they were very patient, very, very patient. Mm. And
Now, I don't know prices,
sure.
But is Batman 181 at that narwhal price point?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking.
It's at like a couple utility bills price point.
A couple utility belts? I hear you, buddy.
So
of course, your honey right next to you. I'm sure that calculator's you're actually hearing the keys being typed.
Yeah, I hear ching ching.
Yep.
Ching.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The roll of paper, calculator papers rolling out of her head. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh yeah, I can't even imagine.
So after all this, she was very patient.
Sure.
I could tell she was a little upset that she didn't have a narwhal. but she was very tolerable. And so we get to the end of the booth. Reagan has to go to the restroom. So they go to the restroom. She comes back out. She's like, so I didn't find anything. Can we go get the narwhal? And so, of course, I had to try to give a speech.
Oh, no.
I said, look, are you sure you want this narwhal? I was like, I can probably get it on Amazon for a lot cheaper. But if you really want to get it, we can get it. And she's like, I really want to get it. I said, all right. I said, let's do this. Because she noticed that I was talking to all these vendors and trying to hassle on some prices. And I was like, how about this? If you can get the narwhal for $30, then I'll get you the narwhal.
So you want her to haggle?
Absolutely.
So this is a life lesson at this point.
It's a life lesson.
Oh, look at you, dad of the year over here.
So she's like, okay, that's fine. Let's do that. So we go all the way to the other side of the con. And we go back to the booth, and they still had one left.
Oh, golly.
Right? Because they had three when we were there that morning. By the afternoon, they had the one left. She's like, Daddy, there's only one left. I told you we should have got it earlier today. We could have missed it. And it's like, all right.
What if we would have missed? As you're like, damn it, I thought there'd be none left, and we would have missed it. Like, another life lesson. Don't wait.
Don't wait. Get it now.
Yeah.
Be like your daddy.
Right, impulse.
Mm-hmm. So she goes over there, she picks it up, and she's like giving me looks, like, you know, come on, let's get it. And I was like, I told you, see if you can get it down to $30. So she taps the guy on the shoulder, and she's like, how much is it? And he's like, $35. And she looks over at me, and I gave her a look, and she's like, will you do it for $30? And the guy looked at me. And I just smiled, and he's like, yeah, I'll do it for $30. So Zoe was extremely happy that she got a narwhal.
Now, did he look over at you in your head? Do you think that look was, are you going to approve this, Daddy? Or, like, are you okay with this? You know, like, what was that look over to Dad for?
I have no idea.
Okay, gotcha.
I have no idea. But you got to think, too, like, Sunday afternoon at the end of convention, these guys want to get rid of some of this stuff. You know what I'm saying?
They don't want to trek it back home.
Yeah, they don't want to trek it back home. Matter of fact, that's part of the reason I told her to see if he dropped the price a little bit, because when we were there the first time, I heard the two guys talking about they have to get rid of all the stuffed animals on the wall.
Thanks.
So I was like, perfect, you know, It'll work out eventually. So
and it all worked out.
Yeah, so it worked out. So she got her narwhal. And then, of course, Since I spent that money on the narwhal, Reagan's like, well, can I go get some more stuff?
She just wanted Skittles.
No, she got some, well, she did get some stuff from like the Japanese toy booth thing.
Nice.
I almost got a bunch of Legos because, you know, they have those like custom Lego figures.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was one guy that had a ton of them already on display, and there was another smaller booth where he had some on his table, but he was building a lot of them like on the spot.
Ooh.
And they were cheap. They were like 6 for $20, I think.
Nice.
So I was going to get like a Justice League set, but I was like, nah, I'm kind of done right now. I just want to go home. So I didn't get any of them, but
now,
it was a good time.
Did you finish your Batman 181 story? Did you happen to get that or did you not?
No, I did not get it.
Okay.
I did not.
So what was that reasoning? Because you heard the calculator going on in the background?
No, the reasoning was C2E2 is coming up. And I could pretty much fund at least my whole weekend with the price of this one comic.
So that's not a narwhal price.
It's not a narwhal price. So I found 4 copies. There was one guy that had 2 copies.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted $150 a piece.
That isn't that bad.
No, it was a good price. But like
good condition?
No, they were really beat up.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They were really beat up. And he and I talked for a little while. I mean, everybody was pretty firm on that book because it's a really hot book right now.
Mm.
I found one. He wanted $400 for it, and it was in slightly better shape than the other two. But I was like, well, I mean, for the condition difference, I'm not going to pay, you know, twice the price.
Yeah, unless it's slabbed and you know exactly the grade of it.
Well, and as we were leaving the convention, I walked past a booth that had a slabbed one. They had a 5.5 CGC for $500, which I thought was actually a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But again, do I want to get that book or do I want to fund my trip to Chicago? You know what I'm saying?
You're a big boy. You can make that decision.
So I decided not to get it. And like they knew that people are looking for it because they actually had a sign on theirs, firm price. There was no haggling there.
Jeez, they didn't mind bringing it home with them.
No, not at all. They're going to sell it at $500. Somebody's going to pick it up.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if C2E2 wasn't coming up, then I probably would have just got it.
Yep. But you'll see them at the next convention in a month and a half, so you could pick it up there.
Sure. Most likely.
But, yeah, I would think so.
But that copy was actually really nice, the 5.5.
Nice.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's higher graded copies, but I'm going to end up popping it out of the case anyway.
Right.
So, like, you know, I wanted to look decent.
You have to free it.
Yeah. Free your mind!
Ooh. So what else has been going on?
Oh, wait. So let me tell you, because this is the topic that this long 30-minute story leads up to.
Ooh, okay. Do tell.
Professionals, don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
That I was digging through some boxes in this one booth. I got a, oh, God, what number was it? Batman 1... 20 shite. Let me look it up real quick.
Sure.
Yeah, is this it? Batman 127. Oh, 147. So I was thinking, I went to this booth and they had a bunch of boxes. They had a bunch of stuff up on the wall. And unlike most vendors that have stuff up on the wall, you could actually, they had aisles. So you would actually get pretty close to the books up on the wall.
Thanks.
Most of the guys that have stuff up on the wall, like, they block off that section.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked up, and she had a Batman 147, which is amazing. I read it already. It is amazing. It's Batman Becomes the Bat Baby.
Oh, my gosh.
It was incredible.
That sounds incredible.
Matter of fact, well, you know what? It would have been too early. This could have been a Poison Ivy story. Because there's these weird poisonous plants. Anyways, so
that's neat.
Batman 147. The lady was breastfeeding, by the way.
What?
So it was a little odd making a transaction with a breastfeeding lady.
Holy crap! Well, that's just, you know, hey, that's the nature that's the nature of life, right? The circle of life.
Well, sure. Like, you know, I was trying to be professional, but like it's kind of hard to deal with a person talking about price and then making a transaction when they have a baby sticking out of their boob. You know,
it's true.
Is that the episode title? So
did you ask for a little suckle?
No, I did not.
You're like, look, I could haggle right now, or let's just say I did and I pay you the full amount, but I get a little suckle, just a little. And knowing a lot of vendors, they would probably be like, yeah, okay.
That's terrible. But she had a bunch of stuff, and we're digging through the long boxes. And we're looking, and, you know, like I said, this is one of the booths where it was up close. The stuff was up close.
Mm.
And Reagan was looking through some boxes, and she looks up, and she's like, she saw a book. Okay, what was it? Oh, they had a gold Wildcats number one. Which, I don't think I'd ever seen a gold Wildcats number one.
Interesting.
And it was right next to a gold Strike Force number one.
Yikes.
And so she's like, why would anyone pay $50 for a comic? And I was like, well, I mean, that's nothing. I was like, look at this one over here. And I was, look at this one. And we start going through a bunch of different ones. They had a first appearance of Harley Quinn up on the wall, too. That was like $250, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, some of these comics get expensive. And she's like, I don't understand. She's like, so she pulls a book out of a box, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, look at this comic. She's like, it's so little. It's so thin. She's like, what is it, like 20 pages? And I was like, yeah, about 22 pages. She's like, I don't understand why somebody would pay $100, $200 for 22 pages. So, of course, this led to a whole discussion about the economics of buying old comics and why people do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting conversation to have with my kid, because it's not something that ever came up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is the first time that I went to a con with them where I was actually looking to buy something, right? Usually I go just to, like, look at things, talk to people, hang out, let the kids have a good time. But, you know, I was actually looking at stuff and I was actually buying stuff. And, you know, she wasn't, like, standing next to me when I'm having the pricing discussions with these people at the booths. So she didn't realize until we got to this one vendor and she actually saw the prices, you know, on her own, that she realized how much some of these things cost.
And, so when you're talking to a vendor and you say $175, in her head, it was $1.75.
Probably.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure she knows the value of a dollar, and then all of a sudden it dawned on her, wait, it wasn't $1.75. Oh my gosh, people pay a lot of money for this.
Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was interesting too, because like, even for modern comics, it almost seems like it would behoove some of these publishers to drop prices on books to sell more books.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, all right,
I don't understand. And now it seems like Marvel is doing, what is it, every 3 weeks? Wasn't that reported?
Yeah, every 3 weeks, yeah.
And yet they haven't dropped one red penny.
Not one red penny. And their books are more than most publishers, because they'll do a lot of $4.99, $5.99 books.
Oh, for sure.
What is it? Amazing Spider-Man. What's the one, the big number coming up? 800 or something? Is that right? 800?
That sounds right.
It's like a $9.99 book.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, I guess if you're a Spider-Man fan, that's cool. But if you want to pick up a Spider-Man book, you're not going to pay $9.99 for that book.
Sure you will. Just like when Detective hits, what is it, 1,000?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's plenty of Batman fans and plenty of Superman fans that's coming up to 1,000 that will happily pay that.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about, like, if you go to a comic shop, all right, this happened at the con, actually. Because Sunday is generally family day at a lot of conventions. And
for sure.
People go with their kids. And I noticed that a lot of these booths, grown men like myself, looking for particular books, and they had their kids with them. And they were asking the vendors, like, what book would you recommend for my kid to pick up? Or, like, people that don't read comics, but their kids like watching, like, the comic book movies.
Yep.
And they want to try a comic out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, my boy really, like, he just watched Black Panther. You know, he really loved it. Like, what book do you recommend he pick up from Black Panther?
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that probably like 3 or 4 times at the convention. And it just got me thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, so Marvel does the True Believers thing.
Yeah, and maybe DC will be doing their young adult that way. Maybe they'll be pricing them appropriate for a younger person to go in and buy a couple.
See, you would think that, but so Zoe used to pick up, well, Reagan did too to some extent. They were picking up some of the Boom and IDW books because they do like My Little Pony or like Regular Show and things like that.
Sure.
But those books aren't priced for kids either. They're like $3.99 a piece.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
It seems to me like, so I guess I don't want to talk about like the economics of things, but you know, there's two ways for you to make money, right? You can make it by sheer pricing, or you can make it up by volume. So you could sell like, let's just say 1,000 books at $4.99. But like, would you sell 2,000 books if there were $2.50?
I would think that they've exhausted those numbers enough to know what price point they can sell the most at.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
All right.
Except for, isn't there a point, especially with DC, that if they sell whatever it is, 1 million, 200,000, whatever the number is, where all of a sudden the creative team is getting a bonus on top of it?
Yeah, right.
That's where I think, or I can see a publisher knowing where the sweet spot is. So if we drop the price, we'll still be under what that person gets, what that person has to achieve to get that bonus. Or do we raise that price up an extra dollar so they never ever see that bonus? Like, that part, I can see any publisher being like, here's the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And that's why we charge $1 more.
I mean, I guess you're right. But like, all right, so Alterna Comics are doing those 150 newsprint books.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're ever going to do like huge numbers. Number one, because it's an indie company. I think they'll always sell much fewer books. And I think there's people that just want to read comics and don't care about the newsprint, but there are people that want their comics in good paper.
Sure, but isn't that a cheaper cost as well?
Oh, it's much cheaper to do it in newsprint. Newsprint is like, you know, peanuts on a penny.
Right, that's why they can charge nothing for them.
Sure.
For them.
Sure. The glossy paper is much more expensive. But at the same time, like, they've grown a ton since they started doing the 150 books.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, they've grown like 300% sales-wise.
Wow.
Since they dropped to 150. And, I mean, like, they still have new books coming out, but, I've seen their line. I follow them, to see what new stuff they have coming out. A lot of the books that they're putting out at the 150 price right now are not new books. They're books that have been out for a while. Like The Chair, for example, they've done that like 3 or 4 times already. I mean, I read The Chair in like 2012, probably. And that's true for a lot of the books that they do. They're just kind of reprinting their stuff because I guess they're getting more popular now. And so they want to introduce people to the rest of their books.
See, that doesn't fly with me, because if that is a price point you could hit, why wouldn't Marvel and DC do their young reader line or kids line just on newsprint? Who cares?
Oh, yeah.
Like, a five-year-old's not collecting that, and a parent of a five-year-old sure is. You will not tell your daughter, put down that piece of pizza while you read that comic book.
No,
you just let them read it. And if they want to rip out the pages and post them on their bedroom wall, let them do it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't Marvel or DC be like, you know what, we're not going to charge $1.50, but $2, that's doable.
Yeah, even $2.50.
Yeah, who cares? Like, any parent would be like, oh yeah, $2.50? Hell yeah, at least it isn't $4.99.
So you're a little bit older, so you remember like 10 cent comics, 12 cent comics. You know, when I started reading comics...
Actually?
Yeah?
The first time I started to actually notice prices on comics is the changeover from a quarter to still 35 cents.
Ah.
That's where I was.
Gotcha. Well, it's still further back than me, because when I started reading,
oh, for sure,
I was picking up books at $1.25.
Right.
And
like,
then
when it hit a dollar, I was scratching my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember like
how far we've come.
I remember like people talking at the shop about how crazy prices were getting, because like when Valiant came out, Valiant was like the first people to do 250 books.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what the hell? Who's going to pay 250 for a comic? You know, Marvel and DC are doing $1.25, $1.50.
That's why I never bought any Valiant comics.
Oh, interesting.
And trust me, I loved Barry Windsor Smith. I just know. I mean, you know me. Even back then, it was I can buy this one comic or I could buy two comics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know me. I'm going for quantity.
Right.
And to be honest with you, no one that I hung with, even the shops that I went into, no one was like, you need to get Valiant. You have to. It's so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
No one was promoting it like that. So other than reading a Wizard magazine, I didn't know that anyone was tooting Valiant's horn. So that's why I sort of, and besides, I could get two comics.
Sure.
Sorry.
Well, Valiant wasn't the only one though, right? Cause, like Image,
no,
had
they
bumped,
weren't.
Image bumped their books up to, I think they were $195 to start off. And then a couple mm-hmm. books came out at like $250, like Shadowhawk, I think was $250. What else? I can't remember, but there were a few titles that came out that were $250, or $350 even.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And like the $350 books, you had to do like double size books,
mm-hmm.
or like nobody was going to buy them.
But I will say, even though I never bought any Image comics when it first started, you know that we've had this discussion.
Yep.
You always knew that they were better.
Right.
I could see by the cover, even just the cover themselves compared to Marvel and DC. Wow, that they're spending money on the cover alone. You open it up. Wow, they're spending it on the paper mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And my God, the colors were so deep and rich.
Yep.
Like you could just tell, like I never bought any of them, but holy Christ, did Spawn just jump out of the page.
Yep.
Any of the Image stuff. My God. Mm-hmm. So different.
Man, yeah. I saw a bunch of Spawn number 9s at the con.
No.
And they were still pricey. And I was like, what in the world? That's, what was it? Frank Miller, I think, right? He's the one that wrote that?
Mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
The first appearance of Angela, who Ugh. Somehow ended up over at Marvel.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is that
and
where
then
she's at?
And then became Thor's sister.
Yeah, she's Thor's sister. I don't know. I gotta figure out what the hell happened there.
No, you don't. I tried to, and it just was a ball of confusion.
Really?
Yeah, you don't. You really don't need to read that.
That's so weird. Mm-hmm. Comics are so weird sometimes, dude. You remember?
For sure.
What was it that McFarlane bought, and then like he couldn't put it out? Was it Miracle Man?
We've had this discussion. It was Miracle Man.
It was Miracle Man. That's right.
Yep.
There were a few like that. Like when Liefeld bought the... Oh, God. Not the Shield. What's the Kirby character that was a ripoff of Captain America?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't draw it out, though.
They have a book. Holy Christ. They have a book out now. Oh, God. To the Duck Duck Go Machine!
Yeah.
Fighting American. There we go.
Ah, there we go.
Fighting American. That's coming out now. I can't remember who puts it out. But, yeah, it's Fighting American and his little sidekick, whatever his name is. That book is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Speed Boy, that's the sidekick's name. I know our friend Rob Krieger's reading it because I saw him post on Twitter about it.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's interesting because what they've done is they had him, like, travel through time. So he's still a Golden Age character, but part of the story is, like, one of his villains travels to the present and somehow he gets thrown to the present. So they have to deal with like the differences in society between like their time in the 40s and now.
Huh.
And like they still have the Golden Age costumes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. Would that be considered the Golden Age? That came out in the 50s. I guess that might be silver. It's probably the cutoff of the Golden and Silver Age. But still. Fighting American. Holy moly. God, that lawsuit was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I think, wasn't that after Heroes Reborn when they gave Liefeld Avengers and Captain America?
Yes.
And they're like, yeah, like, you're out of here, bro. You can't put a book out on time. And he's like, yeah. All right, screw it. I'm going to buy this Captain America. I do it myself. And then there was a lawsuit because it was too close. Because he stuck it to him, right? Buddy America never had a shield, but he gave him a shield exactly like Captain America. And he could, like, throw it just like Captain America. And, like, the resolution of the lawsuit was so weird because he was still able to keep the rights of the character and publish books for it. But mm-hmm. the character, I think he could still have a shield, but he could not throw the shield.
That sounds right.
It's so weird. Trademarks are so odd. So freaking weird. But
you know what's odd, going back to the price that you're talking about? I can't believe all the hoopla over DC putting out books twice a month and people getting all in a tizzy over that. And at this point, don't you look at that like, yes, two books when you have to buy both of the books in a month, that price point is still a dollar more than Marvel books right now when you add them both up. But yet you are, and at this point, I think the tables have turned. Now people are like, yeah, but it's a bargain because then you still get 15 extra pages. Mm-hmm. Even though it's a dollar more, it's 15 extra pages.
Yep.
Where before it was like, I can't believe they're raping us. Look at that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And now I think most people are like, no, that's a better price.
You know what? There's just like the initial shock and then people get over it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It does help. It does help that now they have digital codes.
Sure, sure. Yep.
Where Marvel did have that over them for quite a while.
I mean, I'm buying a Marvel book that I think is $4.99, and Nick, it comes out every damn week.
You don't buy weekly books.
I do now.
What?
It is so good.
What is this?
Avengers.
Oh, No Surrender?
No Surrender. It is so good.
That's cool.
It is so good. I went back and forth with Mike on it on Twitter, cause he started reading it and was loving it.
Nice.
And, I remember picking up the first one cause Jack and I talked about it, maybe even Ronnie, cause I know Ronnie liked it. And, I was like, well, you know, if Ronnie likes it, I'll check it out. I read it. I thought it was really good. And then upon further discussion, I learned that it was a weekly book and I said, nope, I'm out of here. Cause I have a very rabid aversion to weekly titles, but,
which is crazy.
Is it? What's crazy about that? Well,
weekly event titles is crazy.
I mean, it's like an event, but not really, because it's just an arc of Avengers. Like, it's not it's not No Surrender 1 through 16. It's, you know, legacy numbering.
No, I think I'm okay with that. I'm shocked that you didn't like weekly event titles. That's the part that shocks me.
Oh. Yeah, that's weird, actually, now that I think about it.
Because those actually got me back into the Cape and Cowls.
Yeah, it's
for
weird.
The most part.
Because the reason I don't like reading some events, like so DC Metal 6 came out today. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been reading DC Metal because, like, I want to read it all at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't like your heavy metal in bits and pieces. You need the entire hard rock and soap opera.
Yeah, I need the double drum solo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
So, now that it's over, though, I'm going to read the whole thing. But
including all the offshoots, or did you read all those?
No, I read the offshoots. Well, did I read all of them? No, I think I missed a couple.
Are you going to go back and get those so you read the entirety?
I got them. I just didn't read them.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, all right, then.
So, so I'm going to read. I'm going to read all of Metal and see what's up. But
nice.
But the thing is, right? Because when you have delays and you have books kicking out of something.
Yes.
I don't want to.
Hello button.
Yeah, hello button. DC Rebirth, rest in peace. I don't want to like read whatever's being offshoot off of it, and then
agreed.
Like reread it when the event comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Metal was supposed to be is the Metal ends, and then all this other stuff comes out of it, like the New Age of Heroes, right? Silencer and Damage and Terrifics and all that stuff. And all those books are out.
Yeah, it reminds me of Marvel's event Secret Wars, where there were so many delays that all of a sudden you started to get books that were, you'd get the asterisk in the book that's like, see Secret Wars 6, and Secret Wars 5 just came out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I feel your pain, and as a trade reader, none of those delays affected me, which was fantastic.
Yep. But so now thinking about it, I think maybe I'm just totally wrong about the weekly books. Because if you're just waiting 1 week for the next part, like, that's plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? As long as the book is actually coming out every week.
Yes.
Which no Avengers has been.
I will say on the negative, even though you know I love staying positive, on the negative regarding weekly books, if you're reading them weekly like I was for like 52 and all the DC weekly events I read when they were coming out. If you get into a bad weekly book, even if you're reading it every week and keeping up with it, I don't know if you know right off the bat that it's bad, because it's like, ooh, that left a bad taste. Oh, in 2 days, here comes the new one.
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit of time before all of a sudden you realize, wait, it's been a month and 4 issues have stunk.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing that's bad, because you're always, it's never you have to wait a month and by that time maybe your wallet has thinned out. No, you're waiting 1 week and it's like, shit, I'm back in it.
Yep.
Like, you never get a breath, which is good for them because it keeps it going.
Yeah, I agree. But no surrender. Fantastic.
Hey, can I bring up a new podcast that I've been listening to?
Sure. Talk about Comics Talk Today all you want.
It's called Comics Talk Today. when you published the panel,
oh yeah,
talking about metal in the new DC.
Sure.
You know the one part, and I think you might even agree with this. You know, we both have loved some Scott Snyder. Mm-hmm. We both have loved some Geoff Johns. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about how much of a cheerleader he is. You know who the real shining star is?
Who's that?
Dan DiDio.
God, yes.
Because every time he was on that microphone, he's just such a freaking cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And it comes out in his writing as well.
Yep.
Like, he's just, God, he's fun to listen to. You can tell he has a passion for what he's doing, and it is not lip service. He wants everyone to get the best comic book, even if it's the worst selling comic book. He still wants that for whatever fan base that is. He wants them to feel like, no, this is the best comic book DC's putting out.
Yep.
And I love that about him.
Yep.
And he was only on for what, like 7 minutes or something?
Yeah,
my bad. God, he's so fun to listen to.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's great. He should let himself write more comics.
I wish he would. Because every time he writes a new series or a one-shot, those are always the, like, limited series that I just fall in love with.
Yep.
Yeah. He's, oh, God, he's so good.
Yeah, that was my thing with this Phantom Stranger. It was freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I think I read that whole run in one sitting.
Yeah, he's fun.
It was great. Where is the Phantom Stranger? They should bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can do the Dark Multiverse Phantom Stranger.
Or just put him in the Sandman universe. Oh, find some place like for that. Him, for God's sakes.
I like that.
Yeah, put him somewhere.
Are you going to pick up those books?
The Sandman books?
Yeah.
There's a couple that I'm interested in, but I'll be honest with you. I think that's a library thing. I think Sandman has passed me by.
Hmm.
Not my interest. I'm still interested in that world, but it seems like Gaiman is just like, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll sign off on this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can use my name, whatever.
Yeah, I was trying to think about that. I think I'm going to pick up the first ones when they come out. But, like, the one that I'm really interested in is The Dreaming. And I'm not sure about the rest of them. I'm not a big Lucifer fan, you know?
I'd like to see if they all interconnect with each other. That would be interesting if they did that. If it's just sort of like a Vertigo imprint and they're all off in their own little worlds, I don't think that would hold my attention as much.
Yeah.
But I don't like Lucifer either. So, yeah, it's... I don't know. I don't know.
You know, they should have just kept it in Vertigo.
Yeah, agreed. If you want to relaunch Vertigo like you say you do, why would you ever take Sandman out of Vertigo?
Yeah, it seems like that'd be a flagship, right?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even have to prove anything with numbers or anything. That's pretty synonymous.
Yeah, I mean, like, Sandman is like the Nerdy Legion podcast of Vertigo Comics.
Ooh, you're giving us a lot of credit there.
I mean, I'm just calling him like I see him. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Just calling him like
I see him. We're getting challengers to the grabby throne left and right. That's all I know.
Yeah, but you know what? There's only
even
one
by my own co-host.
There's only one throne, Nick, and it has two seats on it. It's a love seat and a comfy couch.
Even my own co-host on Nerdy Legion, even he is bringing it so bad that he's going for a solo Grammy Award. And I don't know if I like that.
Man, that podcast is doing gangbusters.
But if he does, I will wish him the best. And you can relay this to him, of course. I do wish him the best in the new podcast Grabby category.
Oh, which one's that?
The new podcast.
That's the
category. It's a brand new podcast.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were going to go for the solo jerk category.
Well, that too. He can win that. Just don't be coming after the comfy couch.
It's been rough, dude, man. Like, I'm popping freaking cough drops left and right. You got to see the mound of freaking wrappers on my desk right now.
Between kicking back and thinking that you're going to be doing even less speaking, and you're doing like three times more, as well as working 16-hour days. I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I think it actually came at a perfect time, because I was worried about doing the solo show, because I thought it was going to take up too much of my time. But what I realized is, I've been so busy that it's really hard to schedule a podcast with somebody else. And so it's actually been easier to do the solo podcast than to coordinate with other people.
That I don't doubt at all.
Yeah.
Because you can sit down at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. with yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
Yep.
Totally
get it. Tons of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yep.
I'm loving it.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Hey, I got to bring it back to comics. Did you see what I posted? And you know I don't usually buy physical comic books. Did you see what I posted today? The IDW Artist Edition. The Ross Andrew Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition.
Oh, I did see that.
Oh, good God. That is me in an oversized book, right? Oh my God. I'm already laying the groundwork with the wife.
Really?
That has to be mine.
Yeah, that's a cool cover. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, that is 70s goodness. That is me. That's still 35 cents. Those are the covers that I just gravitate back to, that type of thing. Oh.
Mm-mm-mm. You should color that in.
Oh, my God.
With crayons.
Love it. Love it. No.
No?
It's an artist edition.
Well, I mean, if you color it in, then you're the artist, right?
But what I need to do is buy a coffee table so I can have some place to display
That's
it
hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love comic book nerds because we just buy random shit just to put a comic on it.
Yeah, why not? Or put up a shelf so I can put it up on that shelf. So good.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Oh, and did you see that What If issue that I just read?
Mm-mm.
I just posted an image of it. It was a what if, I think, what if Sue Richards married the Submariner?
You know what? That's funny. I've read that.
Oh my gosh. It's done by Bill Matlow.
Uh-huh.
And Gene Colan does the art.
Did you read it yet?
Which, oh God, yeah. And I tweeted about it last night and I said this possibly could be the best what if Elseworld story I've ever read.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good. But then when you realize it's Matlow and Gene Colan, it's like, well, duh. Like, come on. Because a lot of these what if books, you either get a good artist or a good writer, and half the time you don't get either. It's just the premise of what if, you know, Matt Murdock was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. instead of Daredevil. Even though that one is written and drawn by Frank Miller. So that's an exception to the rule.
Yep.
But this one was really good. And at the end, I'm like, this actually had a statement against, like, there was a racism undertone to it. It was really heavy. I was like, damn, these guys are killing it. So I highly recommend. It's on Comixology for like $1.99. Go out and read it.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
That's a good one. I read a few, I think it was sometime last year, maybe during the summer. That was a good one. There was one with the Inhumans that's like post-apocalyptic. And it was really good too. I gotta figure out which issue it was. I can't remember exactly. Wait, was it the Inhumans? Maybe it was the Avengers. Damn it. It's been so long. Yeah, they should do those what ifs again, dude. Especially now that they're doing now they're doing 2-in-1 again, which is really good. The Tales of Suspense is out, and that's really good. You should read the last Tales of Suspense.
It seems like they're doing what we've been asking out of DC for what? How long has this podcast been going on? Almost 3 years?
300 years.
I mean, honest to God, what have we wanted since day one? Brave and Bold.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bring that back. And guess what? Mark Waid did a fantastic job with Brave and Bold, but I want it to come back. Like, put it out!
Oh, there is a Brave and the Bold.
I know.
But
I
it's
saw
not the
it.
Same.
It is not the same.
It is not what we asked for.
Mm-mm.
It is good, though.
So I guess I'll just have to get the omnibuses. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the other two what ifs that I have waiting for me is what if Elektra had lived?
Oh.
And what if the Fantastic Four had not gained their superpowers?
Oh, I might have read that one.
I'm looking forward to all of them.
Nice.
But it's going to be hard to beat the one, that one, that Fantastic Four one. And I've read some crappy ones leading up to it. Trust me on that. There's been some real, real honey badgers in that group of the boy.
Is there a collection of what ifs?
I thought there was two collections of what ifs.
I might need to get that.
But there's some real spotty ones, dude. And I'll even tell you one. I'm going to my tablet as we speak. There was one that had, I think it was Carmen Infantino doing the art, which you would think that's a home run. It was later day Carmen.
Yeah.
So it was way too loosey goosey. Just the line work. It was way too loose. Oh, and you would think this would be such a good one, but it was three stories. And I thought by the title, I thought like all of them were going to be together. No, it was three separate stories. And it was what if Ghost Rider, Spider-Woman, and Captain Marvel, the green and white Captain Marvel, were villains, which I like that concept.
Yeah.
But oh boy. Oh, Carmine.
All right, what's the deal here? I'm on Comixology right now. They have like 4, 6, 8, 9 issues of a series that ran for 12 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's up with that?
That is ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? Screw you! Oh, what if AVX? Hello! I need that.
Oh my gosh.
What is this magical item that I'm staring at in the face?
Well, buddy, don't forget to use that coupon code.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I won't forget.
At least you can get a couple of those issues.
What if classic? All right, here we go. Here's the problem.
See?
All right.
See?
All right, see? Now we're getting somewhere. So the problem is they did what if from 77 to 84.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see here. That's not what I asked for, bros. God, Comixology, man, I tell you. It's something.
Welcome. It's
a thing.
It's no database.
It is no database. God, can we load any slower? All right. Bingo. $5.94 with my unlimited discount.
Ooh.
For each volume. There are 7 volumes. I may need to get all of these. But see, this makes more sense.
I guess, Martin, I shouldn't share with you that all of those volumes were 99 cents each about a month ago.
God damn it.
I know. That killed me too.
Wait,
I totally missed them until after the sale.
Is that coupon code reusable?
It should be.
Okay.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
I'm going to try that. Because then I can get, it's like buy 3, get 1 free.
Yeah. So, and also throw a couple of those 99 centers in there.
Yep. So it looks like in the original What If from 77 to 84, they've got all of them. In the What If Volume 2, which is 89 to 98, they have 9 issues.
Oh, boy.
And then apparently there was... Ooh, I missed all these, and these look awesome. There was a What If in 07-08, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 one-shots. You've got What If Planet Hulk, What If Annihilation. Hello! Annihilation, you say? Sold to me. What If X-Men, What If Civil War, What If Spider-Man Wolverine, What If House of M, What If Fallen Sun, What If Fantastic Four, What If Spider-Man, and What If Secret War.
Yikes.
These all that
will
great.
That will make you scratch your head and wonder, why did they do that instead of the way they wrapped up the thing originally?
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel, bring
can
back
I
what
give
if.
You completely agree. Can I give you just one of the old classics? Mm-hmm. Can I give you one of the titles that, oh my God, I so want?
Yes.
It is What If number 14. What if Sergeant Fury had fought World War II in outer space?
Yes.
And they all have like fishbowl helmets on.
I love it.
Oh, it looks...
Dude, that's an awesome cover.
It's so funny.
That is a great cover. Matter of fact, I remember reading some of these What Ifs last year, and mm-hmm. it's funny because some of these stories have become canon now.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's scary. Like, I even, because I brought it up to, that was one of my questions when I was reading the What Ifs. I brought it up to Ronnie and Jack at the Ultimate Marvel podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what would be your What If story? And Ronnie named like three of them. And I'm like, buddy, they've all been done. And he was like, what? Now I have to go track down What If comics. But it's so strange. There are so many of these titles that are like, yeah, that did happen. What if Jane Foster had become, had found the hammer of Thor?
Uh-huh.
Like, that happened. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm, it's so good. It's just so good.
It is. Marvel, except play in the toy box.
Except here's, and this goes back to your quiz that you gave me for Comic Talk today. Mm-hmm. What if number 11? What if the original Marvel bullpen had become the Fantastic Four? Remember Marvel bullpen month?
Uh-huh.
Ay, ay, ay.
Classic.
Oh, it's so much fun.
Classic.
And they're it's like their version of Elseworlds.
Yeah.
But completely in like a goofy setting. Not comedy, but just it's not being taken. You're not getting any like, what if Superman was raised in the USSR? Mm-hmm. You're not getting that. You're not getting anything that makes you ponder like geopolitical questions. No, you might ponder, what if Jane Foster picked up the hammer of Thor? Mm-hmm. Like that's what you'll ponder. They're not going to be trying to save like, oh, what about world hunger? No, not in these what ifs. Oh, it's so much fun.
You got anything else for me, Nick?
No, I don't think so. Oh, can we talk 5 minutes? 5 minutes on the new Deadpool trailer.
That's what I was looking for.
Okay, good.
Let's talk about it.
Please, I requested you to, I know you don't like watching trailers, but I really wanted your opinion on it because Deadpool was a lot more your age group than mine when he first started to come up.
But remember, I am not a Deadpool fan.
I know, but you also liked X-Force and sure, New Mutants right. and stuff like that.
Yep.
Like, there were characters in that trailer that I had no clue who they were. No idea.
It was X-Force.
But they all looked fun. But they're, dude, I never read one comic book with Shatterstar in it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I've seen pictures, I just never, other than Cable, because I like the sci-fi time stuff. Mm-hmm. He was the only character I really ever followed out of that group.
Have you read the new issue of Cable, by the way?
No, and I'm dying to.
You should.
I'm absolutely dying to.
I'm going to have Zach and Lonnie on Comic Talk today soon.
Ooh, I was talking to Zach last night. I can't wait to hear that. So. Fantastic. Yeah, okay.
It'll be fun. Okay.
No, yeah. actually Cable got me into Bloodshot.
Oh, interesting.
Because my first Cable... Really, my first deep dive of Cable was Straczynski's Cable. Hmm. So that's where I was coming with Bloodshot.
I thought we were going to play what's that called? What's the Kevin Bacon game?
The Kevin Bacon game?
Yeah, what's it called? Seven something of Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's like the seven, not shades.
No, not shades. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, that's it.
There you go.
I thought we were going to play 6 degrees of Rob Liefeld.
Oh, jeez.
But you just went straight to Straczynski.
I don't think I've ever read all that much Liefeld, to be honest with you.
Well, that's good.
He was never somebody that, like now, like currently, as soon as they started to put out the big omnibuses, yes, I picked up plenty of Jim Lee X-Men and plenty of when Liefeld was in the sandbox.
Yeah.
But originally, I was not reading any of that.
I think he's still like swimming in Image money from the 90s, so.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing okay.
Yeah. You know, matter of fact, I was talking to Dewan on Discord. Somehow we started talking mm-hmm. about Stephen Platt.
Ooh,
do you remember
wow.
Stephen Platt?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because him and Liefeld had this big falling out, and it was funny. the reason that Stephen Platt got fired is because he couldn't put out a book on time. But I was reading an interview that Liefeld did. Dude, he was paying Stephen Platt $40,000 per issue of Profit.
Wow.
Can you imagine how much money was in comics back then?
Remember the 90s?
God, great times.
Jesus criminy. No wonder they all had sports cars.
All right, so Deadpool. God, quit distracting me, Nick.
Sorry.
God, I'm trying to be professional here.
Hey, this isn't comic talk today. We're all over the board. You know that.
This is true. So, did you like it, though?
Buddy, I watched it with my wife. I shushed her once.
No.
Because I couldn't miss one damn word out of anyone's mouth. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as it ended, I brought it back in and rewatched the same darn trailer. And then I looked at her and I said, it looks like Tom Wetmore and I have a movie for whatever it was, May 18th. Because there was, and even my wife, after watching that trailer, even she was like, is the Deadpool movie that funny?
Oh, and she didn't see the first one.
No, because she doesn't like the ultra-violence garbage, I never pushed it on her. And I said, yes, the first Deadpool movie is funnier than that trailer, but it is hyper-violent. Mm-hmm. And she goes, because it's funnier than any other Marvel movie I've seen, and I like Marvel funny. And I'm like, yeah, it's funnier. But I'm like, you're going to see heads rolling across. I'm like, it is a hard R film that young children should not be taken to. And guess what? They were fooled in thinking this is a Marvel movie. So I'm sure it's rated R for no real reason. Oops. Nope. It is rated R for a real reason.
Yeah. See, every time I want to go see a comic book movie and I tell my wife to come with me, she's like, I don't like comic book movies. But then I say, but you love Deadpool. Cause she really liked that movie. She requested we go see it.
And then she said, yeah, but Ryan Reynolds had his shirt off for about 15 minutes during it.
Yeah, I guess so. That's probably what it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, I just want to see it for Marina Baccarin.
Ooh, ditto.
Mm-hmm. Yum,
but
yum,
there
yum.
Were so many bits. There were so many bits in that trailer. The trailer was cut almost too fast.
Yeah.
Like, you missed tons of the comedy because you're laughing over the next joke.
Yep. Yeah, there was a lot to miss because I remember Aaron was asking me where Shatterstar was, because he had heard Shatterstar was in the trailer.
Oh.
And, like, Shatterstar...
Was he in the plane in the back?
Yeah, he's in the plane in the back.
Okay.
And it's, like, literally half a second that you see him.
I could see that being the way the movie is.
Yeah.
Like, here's all these people, like, here's a couple of people from X-Force that'll be, you know, side by side with Deadpool. But I can see it just being a Cable Deadpool movie.
Oh, yeah. Cable looks awesome, by the way.
Cable looks freaking balls out. Great. He looks badass.
Hell yeah.
Sliding down that building with his arm breaking his fall. Holy mackerel. Yep. That's badass.
What's the name of that actor?
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin. Forget Thanos. Just be Cable, dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
No doubt.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Awesome. I hope they backed up the Brinks truck. I hope he's making a min of money off those two films.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure he is.
Good on him.
So let me ask you. So now that Black Panther has done $1 billion plus.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think Deadpool can get anywhere near that? Because I saw that they're predicting that Infinity Wars will do as well as Black Panther, if not better.
I think Infinity War will. I don't think Deadpool will. It's the R. The R screws you.
Yeah. Yep.
You're not bringing your kid. Don't forget the first film. Weren't they talking about, like, slapping people across the face with their dicks, hitting people in the butt? Like, come on. There was some pretty crazy. And even in that Red Band trailer, when she's like, I can't understand a word that's coming out of your mouth with that limp dick in there.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You're not bringing Johnny. You're not bringing your 8-year-old back to see that movie. You might get screwed once and accidentally bring him to it. You're not bringing him back 3-4 times like you would with Black Panther.
Yep.
And besides Black Panther, guess what? It spoke to an audience of moviegoers that haven't been spoke to in any other Marvel film. Yep. So good on them.
I agree.
That, and that's a, like, even my dad was like, I can't believe that that movie made so much money. And I'm like, do you understand that was the only hero that a segment of our population ever had as a hero for decades? And he was like, yeah, I never really thought about it. And I'm like, of course, who, even if it was semi, even if it was subpar, you would go just to be like, that's my dog up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did that for Spider-Man. Like, I went to see Spider-Man many times because it's like, I don't know when the next one's going to be brought out. And I want to support Spider-Man. I want Spider-Man on a screen. So
yeah,
I think that's fantastic.
Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, but I think that R hurts it, even though the R is going to make it awesome.
Well, you've got to have that be an R.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the trailer, he cuts off somebody's head and kicks it across the table.
Like, yeah. So do you think when Disney takes over Fox, they're going to dumb that down a little bit?
Tone that stuff right back? Hell yeah. You're not going to get another Logan or a Deadpool. Not the way they are in it right now.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I saw they had they pushed back Dark Phoenix and New Mutants.
Yeah.
Like 6 months each.
And there's not a big uproar in the audience.
No, there's not.
So that to me either says people are at their end for superhero films. Hmm. They've hit their tipping point. Or are those two properties so not what Marvel is doing currently that the audience form is so small, let's push them back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're not pushing back a Superman movie. You're not pushing back an Iron Man movie. Like, you're pushing back a group of, even within the mutant community, you would be like, yeah, they're sort of second tier-ish. You know?
Yep. That's a shame.
I mean, comic book readers, and I love both, but comic book readers are like, yeah, it's sort of the second tier.
That's a shame.
But look at Iron Man. Iron Man was second, if not third, in my head, he was the third tier before.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least. Was he still like in Alcoholics Anonymous when that movie came out?
I don't even recall because I only started to read it once. Who was it? Fraction? Brubaker? Picked him up.
Yeah, that's when they had the new costume, the new suit, right?
Yeah. I started with, what was it, Warren Ellis wrote the one, and then I like started after that when it pretty much sounded like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, yeah. I like that extremist stuff. That was a cool That was a cool suit. Now they're putting that suit in the new suit in Infinity War.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Where he can like click his heel and his feet turn into a rocket booster.
Oh yeah, I did see that little scene.
Yeah.
I still am holding out hope. So
yeah, me too. It's so tough to.
And I want it to be, dude. And I think both of us. A lot of people take our lukewarm response as we're being negative. I don't think there's two bigger fans of like Marvel cosmic stuff. You know, like
I agree.
We both want this to succeed in a big, big way.
Yep.
I just haven't seen anything other than Captain America catching Thanos' punch. That was the only part that I was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Thor running into the guard ship? like, everything around the Captain America catching the punch, everything else was like,
Yep.
And that pains me. That hurts me.
Yep. You know, all I really want, Nick, is an Annihilation movie. That's all. That's all I ask for.
Yes.
Is that too much to ask for?
No.
That's all I want.
Hell, I'll even do you one better. I'll take any of the Annihilation offshoot titles. Make those into movies. Mm-hmm. You want to do a Drac story? Do the Annihilation Drac story. You want to do a Silver Surfer movie? Do Annihilation Silver Surfer. Mm-hmm. Same with Nova. The Nova Annihilation story was fan.
That's so good. Well, I'm hoping that's what Captain Marvel leads into, you know? They can play in the cosmic sandbox.
God, I hope.
Because, I mean, let's be real. Now they've got an unlimited budget.
Right, true. They're making, they're printing money.
Yeah, exactly. Printing the bitcoins.
Yeah, exactly. Soon there'll be a Marvel cinematic Bitcoin.
That's right.
Yep.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I'm sure it'll be more than a dollar. Did you see the next comic book I'm going into?
Nope.
Cataclysm.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I just realized I didn't read Cataclysm, so why am I going into No Man's Land War Games? No, I want to read these the way they were published, so Cataclysm is first.
Well, that's a great choice, because Batman's always the right answer.
I've heard that from you many a time.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I voted for in your poll.
I know, and I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
It's so sad when, like, you can post, should I read NML? And I'm like, yes, because I know exactly what that means. You know?
I knew you would. It's like, come on, Twitter. You can't give me more than, like, 20 character limit per, like, poll choice. Just 20. Are you kidding me?
I wonder how many people, like, saw the poll and they voted for something else because they're like, what the hell's an NML? And, like, they try to look it up and you just can't find it.
My guess is a lot of people just saw Batman and was like, I like Batman.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
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 Whatever this NML is, count me in.
Yep.
Oh, Lord.
So I'll have that when I'm in Phoenix. So
very nice.
That will be my in-flight reading.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of stuff that I'm reading this week.
Ooh, are you going to have some time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good. I like hearing that.
Let me give you my list.
Please do.
All right, so I've got Breathless, which I read, and is awesome. Cyberforce, number one. Factory,
ooh,
number
one.
Ooh,
the relaunch?
Yep, today.
Nice.
Factory,
Silvestri?
Yep, Silvestri and Brian Edward Hill, who's going to be doing that detective arc with Black Lightning.
I like some Silvestri.
And it was teased in the panel that I posted on Comic Talk today that Snyder and Brian Hill are working on something. And I think that lends credence to my Outsiders coming back book theory.
Ooh.
That's going to be awesome.
Now, give me the breakdown. Yeah. Do you know what that – obviously, you probably don't know what that team is, right? Or have you heard rumblings?
They mentioned it. Who is it? Let me see if I can find it.
Well, I was hoping to get a fantasy outsider team from you. That's what I was going for.
Oh. I don't really have a fantasy outsider.
Come on. Build it right now. Just take 2 minutes. I know you have to get off the pocket. Hey, Legionnaires, Martin has to go to bed. He's very sleepy.
Go to bed.
And I'm keeping him 25 minutes past the time that we said we would end.
Nah, bro. I'm gonna record Comic Talk today after this.
Oh, shoot. Well, then give me 5 minutes and give me a damn Outsiders fantasy baseball league.
I'll give you all the time you want.
Okay, then give me 5 minutes and come up with it.
All right, that's fine. So,
this is from even like, let's just throw anyone and everyone into that ballpark, just like they're doing with Justice League teams. Like, as the Outsiders once were, that tone, that look, they don't necessarily have to be on the Outsiders, but who would you put on that team currently now?
So I like a lot of the original team.
Ooh, okay.
So my current Outsiders would be a mix of some of the various teams. So I would have Black Lightning for now, but I wouldn't mind seeing Nightwing take the leadership role of it at some point.
Ooh, okay.
And I think it would be a cool story to have Black Lightning and Nightwing kind of duke it out for leadership.
Ooh.
So that could be interesting. But I would have, so Geoforce, who's a founding member, I would have on there. I would like Metamorpho, but Metamorpho is in the Terrifics, so,
yep.
You know, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would like somebody a little more powerful and weird that has shifted sides over the years, and he was an Outsiders member at one point, the Eradicator, I would put on there.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. I would put Dr. Light on there because nobody ever uses him, and I don't understand that.
The male or female?
You know what? Let's go for the diversity play, and we'll do the female.
Yeah, I like her, too.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do that.
So I was going to say, you're very male-heavy, right?
I guess?
What about Katana? Can you throw a Katana on there?
I mean, you could, but Katana's over in Suicide Squad, isn't she?
Damn it.
So,
since we don't read Suicide Squad, can't we steal her away?
I mean, I guess. But I think she's fine over there. Okay. If we want to do some more female team members, why not add the Looker on there?
Ooh,
I think it'd be an interesting one.
That's outside the box. I like that. Would Geo-Force have to have a new costume?
Oh God, yes.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. And are you going to include Batman, so it's called Batman and the Outsiders, or are you going to go with the Outsiders?
No, so that's why I would like Nightwing to be at least a partial member of the team.
Ooh, okay.
So I like Batman and the Outsiders when that was out, but that didn't last very long. How long was that? Like less than 20 issues, I think, before he left. And right. I think the book really kind of came on its own when Batman left. Because I think a lot of times people will put like Batman or, you know, one of the Trinity characters or, you know, somebody from the Justice League in a book just to like give it the sales boost.
For sure.
Right? And I think at least for me, Nightwing can do enough of that and you still have the Bat family connection. So it makes sense for me. I'd be okay with it. And I would like it for it to be like a big, like magical, mysterious soap opera.
Yeah, they were always good with that.
Yeah.
Would it be okay if I substituted instead of Nightwing? Mm-hmm. Can I put in Red Robin?
Ooh.
I always like Red Robin.
Yeah, I gotta think about that. I don't know. I mean, maybe. You still have the Bat family connection there, so I guess that works.
And yeah, okay, now I have to throw a curveball in, because it seems like this is the temperature of DC currently. You got to add in a villain. Who's it going to be?
Well, I mean, I had the Eradicator on there.
I know, but I want another one.
You want another villain?
Yes.
Oh, I'm trying to think what would be a good villain for this team that's not being used somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. You know who I would like?
Go ahead.
And it just popped into my head because it's a Teen Titans connection, which I always thought sort of dabbled, you know, Batman and the Outsiders sort of dabbled with Teen Titans a little bit.
Sure.
But Simon.
Hmm.
The Teen Titans villain.
Okay, I guess.
Because I'm just thinking the whole mental part of it. I always thought he was an interesting villain.
Okay. I mean, that's fine.
Or could I get the villain, and now I forget his name. But the villain that was the brain in the jar with the monkey.
Oh!
The gorilla.
Yes! What's his name? Let's find it.
Because that was a lot more funny than menacing.
Wait, his name can't be Brain. It is Brain!
I just remember that from the Wolfman Perez era. And I remember there was a crossover event, and I believe they were in the crossover event.
And the gorilla is Monsieur Mala.
Yes, the French gorilla.
Yep.
Oui, oui.
Ultimax. Wait, what's... I thought Ultimax was going to be in something. Oh, crap. I thought I just saw that he was going to show up somewhere.
Ooh.
Oh, well. That's a good one. Wow. Talk about deep dive.
They're both fun.
Jeez.
And now that I've been reading 4 volumes of the new Deathstroke.
Yeah.
And to only have Hive talked about in about 4 pages really hurt my tender heart. I want them back. It's just like Hydra or AIM. Like they need to always be a presence in whatever tale Marvel is telling in a group book. Same with Hive.
Mm. Hey, since you're reading Deathstroke, how would you feel about Rose Wilson on The Outsiders?
Ooh, I would like that a lot.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Rose Wilson a lot. The only thing that sort of threw me was Jericho.
Ugh, I don't like him. I've never liked Jericho.
But boy, did they wash over his history.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the first time I'm meeting him. Like, no, this isn't... If you can remember the Ravager and Deathstroke and the death of Ravager, you don't remember Jericho. Like, everybody remembered that, but they don't remember Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, Christopher Priest can... It's Rebirth, guys. They can rework history however they want to.
Now, Rebirth is dead, bro. It's New Justice now.
I know. It's so crazy. And I loved your comment about where's Geoff Johns. You were so right about that. Oh my God. They just like hid him underneath a house. Like, yeah. He's still doing stuff here. Yeah. He's here.
Yeah.
But he must be in some dark, distant wing of the house. Like, boy, we just don't speak of him.
It's so funny too, because I got an email from somebody who listened to the episode, and he told me that apparently Geoff Johns changed like his profile picture on Facebook or something, and it was a picture of like an angry Hulk.
Oh.
And I was like, what?
No. Do you think that could be a possibility?
I don't know. I don't have Facebook, so I can't check.
But if you had to hazard a guess, do you think that's at all a pot? I mean, he's making buku bucks over at DC.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Bendis was making buku bucks at Marvel.
Mm-hmm. No shit. Yeah, you're right there. And boy, that would be a coup.
Right?
To get him. Holy Christ. Ooh.
Be hilarious.
That'd make me so happy.
It would be hilarious.
And then Ronnie would actually have to talk about Geoff Johns.
He would.
Yeah, he does a Marvel podcast.
I mean, he has to now, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. I want to see if I can find this picture and see if this is...
God, that's so good.
Oh, well. No, I doubt it, dude. He's, you know how much money they must have given him? Like, if he's running those movies and he's still doing the Doomsday Clock and all that, like, he's not going anywhere. He's probably got a contract where, like, you're stuck here for life.
Yeah, backed up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Just like Jim Lee.
Yep. Jim Lee, smartest man in comics, I tell you.
Hell yeah.
I'm telling you.
He's the comic predictor.
He is.
He knew exactly when to sell.
Oh, holy moly. Let's wrap this one up, Nick.
Sure.
You have been listening to the Starship Podcast of the Nerdy Legion Network. The Comfy Couch. We should rename this podcast.
Sure. Let's do it.
The all new, all different Comfy Couch Podcast. Ooh. Sponsored by Mattress Firm. Get yours today at Casper.com/Nerdy Legion. You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore on the Twitter machine. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Nerdy Legion. We, fingers crossed, will be at C2E2 in like 10 days. Is that right? 10 days?
Well, I will be.
By the time this comes out, it may be like 3 years after C2E2.
What I'm hoping is we publish the poopy episode the week of C2E2, and then all of our poopy episode fans swarm us at C2E2 for autographs.
As long as they don't throw poopy at us.
No, that's not allowed.
Anyways, thanks for listening. We'll be back at some point in the future. Or will we? I gotta leave him with a teaser. How will they come back if we don't do that?
I don't know.
They may never come back.
That's true.
They might be done with this podcast.
That's very true.
We talked about too many comics on this episode.
Yeah.
They're gonna be like, what happened to Poop Talk?
Comic heavy.
Yeah. Parenting advice. Where's the Taco Bell chat?
Oh God. The secret menu.
Secret menu. There's no recipes in this episode. Garbage episode. Garbage.
Up on the roof. Didn't tweet you out and call you out for it.
Shame on that.
Oh, what do we have to do?
We should just start a podcast about poop.
Oh God, no.